So we're doing the last day's conference. And just the introduction, I work as the Western Canadian representative for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministries. It's a ministry that's been around since 1938. I've been working in the Calgary area since 1987. And of course, we've just talked about the free subscription for Israel My Glory. You can sign up for that. In Canada, we have four workers. We have the McKims, who work in the Maritimes. We have the McCrackens, who work in on the Ontario area. And they also, I'm just going to get this. I'm having trouble with my computer. They work in a head office and work in Ontario. The Plantses are in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. John Plants is sitting over in, he was sitting there. He's over there in the back corner now. And then Eleanor and I work in the Alberta area. Just a little bit about our ministry before we get into the real study. Often I go out on the streets, join a team with Prairie Bible Institute or some other open-air campaigners, and we actually preach the gospel on the streets throughout Western Canada. This is a shot taken from downtown Vancouver this past summer. We have a table, a literature table that we've all do some volunteer work at the Crossroads Flea Market. You can pick up some of the books and literature from some of the people who've spoken in the past. People like Roger Oakland, Rob Lindstedt, Gary Kaw, people who've spoken here in the past. We give those out free at the Crossroads Flea Market. And we get significant contacts every weekend. In the bottom left corner, this talks about the literature distribution. This was a picture taken a couple of days ago with John Plants and myself by the Chinook LRT. And then we have local Bible studies. We have a Bible study in the Edmonton area. We have a Bible study in the Pinoca area. We have a Bible study in Airdrie. And we have a Bible study in Calgary. And so we have Bible studies throughout. We are available if you want to do a Bible study sometime. Just see me after the session and over at the table. We'd be happy to come into someone's home and just do a Bible study. So tonight's lesson is going to be on the lie, the liar, and the deceived. And we want to take a look at the lie, the liar, and the deceived. In John 8, verse 44, we find out who the liar is. John 8, verse 44, identifies the liar as the devil. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. For he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan, Lucifer, is the father of all lies. His lie is recorded in Genesis chapter 3, 4, and 5. And the serpent, which is Satan, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now the first part is quite easy to disprove. You can disprove it by the authority of the infallible word of God, which says it is appointed unto men once to die. And experientially, we know that 10 people out of 10 die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Now, I want to make that, there is a generation that will be translated to be with the Lord. And I realize that. And I believe that the Lord is coming soon. And so many of us in this room may not face death. But we will be the exception to history, 10 people out of 10 die. Of course, there are some who I would put on the lunatic fringe who would deny the reality of death. Mary Eddy Baker was the the founder of Christian Science. She taught that death was an illusion. Now, the way that she coped with this illusion of death and pain and suffering was she took morphine. Throughout her life, she took morphine to do something that did not really exist. But in spite of saying that death is illusion, she passed away December 3rd, 1910. Then you've got, you shall be as God. Now, here we've all know about the lunatic fringe who might declare themselves to be gods. This man here is actually frequents the Eau Claire market, and you may have seen him. He goes around and around in circles. He sincerely believes that he is Jesus Christ. Now, we have witnessed to him many, many times. He is part of that lunatic fringe, the people who think they're oranges or Napoleon, who think they're God. And we can dismiss them very easily because really, no one really believes their delusion. But what about the others? Would any other rational person believe that they are gods? Now, I'm going to give several quotes, and if we get if we run out of time, we may have to go through this very quickly. But I want to give some quotes to show just how many people actually do believe the lie of Satan. This is actually taken out of Article 460 of the official Vatican website. So I have not changed any of the words here. What it says is the Son of God became man so that we might become God. So that he that made man might make men gods. And so within the Roman Catholic, the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church is God became a man in order that man might become a God. The Orthodox Christian Church calls this transformation, and this is what it comes from one of the websites. That's right, we are meant to be gods. In fact, according to Orthodox theology, it is precisely for this reason that Christ came among us. Christ became a human being in Christ so the human being should become gods, or could become gods. So the official teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, the official teachings of the Orthodox Church, both believe the lie of Satan that we can become as gods. Buddhism. They also, although their founder was an atheist, he died of a magic mushroom overdose. He believed that there was no God, but his followers have actually changed what Buddha actually taught. And here's from one of their websites. We ignore everything that does not confirm our Godhead. So you've got the Orthodox Christians, the Roman Catholics, and Buddhists all believing we can become gods. This is one of the more famous Buddhists, the Dalai Lama. He is a god on earth with the power to initiate others into their own godhead. Here God looks a little confused, but his followers sincerely believe that he is a god, and his role in this world is to teach us all into godhood. With Hinduism, this is a quote from one of their websites, Hinduism is not just a religion of blind faith in irrational idol worship, is the most scientific religion ever conceived by mankind. Hinduism is a means of self-betterment and a means to reach godhood, him or herself. So the whole role of Hinduism is to bring us into a God, to reach our godhood. The Masonic Lodge, I'm just going to start out with a quote from Albert Pike. He said this, if Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests culminate him? Yes, Lucifer is a god, And unfortunately, Adonai is also God. Now, you will not get this until you get to the 31st degree within the Freemasons. But here is the Lost Keys of Freemasonry. It says, God, man is a God in making. Ed Decker, in The Question of Freemasonry, says, in the closing ceremonies of the ritual for the Royal Art degree, the candidate is asked, Brother Inspector, what are you? And he replies, I am that I am. And so here you see that at the very the initiation, I am that I am, that is the name of God. When God appeared before Moses in the burning bush, he said, I am that I am. Thus you shall tell the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Yet within the Freemasonry, when they get to the final place, that's where they come. Theosophy, founded by Helen Blavatsky. She was very influential in a lot of the New Age movement, very influential in the formation of some of the secret societies. She says it denies that the human spirit can ultimately be lost. And her whole idea is man reached through successive re-embodiments in physical form or reincarnation with accompanying emotional, mental, and psychic responses to experience, the spirit attains mastery over his vehicle and man reaches the expression of his godhood. This man has been sweeping all over the southern states. He has a following of hundreds of thousands. His name is the Jesus. If you haven't heard of him, you will hear of him. It says, like many, Jesus says he was born again in prison. From there, he moved to the United States, where he became involved in church youth groups and eventually a minister in Boston. But it was a vision, Jesus says, that turned him from being a man of God to being God. Minister has the number 666 tattooed on his arm. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda is not your typical minister. De Jesus, or Daddy, as thousands of followers call him, does not merely pray to God. He says he is God. The Jehovah Witnesses, I put this one in because this is actually the gravestone of Russell, who founded the Jehovah Witnesses. You see the shape of his tombstone in a pyramid. And you see what's on the inscribed in the front? A cross going through a crown. Today, Jehovah Witnesses deny the cross, but their founder has a cross on his actual tombstone. And actually, the Awake magazine for many years had that same symbol on its cover of the Awake magazine. Now, what Jehovah Witnesses teach, and this is not known to the rank and file people of the Jehovah Witnesses, most Jehovah Witnesses can only attain to the position of theocratic slaves. Those theocratic slaves are to serve the 144,000 who can claim this claim, we are divine beings, hence all such are gods. The Watchtower Society teaches that the 144,000 are gods. Jim Jones says, When I was Moses, you were with me in the wilderness, and I led you out of slavery and death into the promised land. When I was Buddha, you were my followers, and I taught you to meditate on me. When I was Muhammad, you sought me after my teachings and served me with all of your heart and being. When I was Jesus Christ, you are my disciples. On numerous occasions, I was in the congregation when he told us, I am God, and there is no other God. So Jim Jones claimed to be God. This man here, you might remember, 1995, there was the madman who bombed some of the subways in Japan. His name was Shoko Azarera. What he believed is he claimed to be a god on the same level as Shiva, Gautama, Buddha. to promote the idea that Azarera is supreme guru, superior to God. And so this man believes that he is God. David Koresh said this, "I offer you my sealed secrets. How dare you turn away my invitations of mercy? Who are you fighting against? The law is mine and the truth is mine. I am your God and you will bow under my feet. I am your life and your death. My hand made heaven and earth. My hand shall also bring it to the end. You have a chance to learn of my salvation. Do not find yourself fighting against me. Please listen and show mercy and learn of the marriage of the Lamb." And the letter was signed Yahweh Koresh. He believed that he was God. Reverend Sun Wun Moon said this, "God is living in me, and I am the incarnation of himself. The whole world is in my hand, and I will conquer and subjugate the world." M. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled. In it he said, "God wants us to become himself or herself or itself. We are growing toward godhood. God is the goal of evolution." Margaret Atler, a practicing witch, said, "We are gods, and we might as well get used to it." Shirley MacLean said, "We are each part of God. I hold each yoga position for 20 seconds and eternally chant, I am God." It looks like God is turning a little older, but that's okay. This is Rajneesh in one of his better periods of time. He was a notorious cult leader. He took the name Bhagwan Shri, meaning Sir God. He said this, "When you called Jesus, really you've called me. And when you called me, really you've called Jesus." Here's another God. Maharishi Yogi said, "Be still and know you are God." Misquoting Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And there you see God is sort of contemplating life a little bit, maybe a little confused. Morris Sorello said this, "Did you know that from the beginning of time, the whole purpose of God was to reproduce himself? Who are you? Come on, say it. And what does work inside us, brother, is that manifestation of all that God is and all that God has. And when we stand up here, brother, you are not looking at Morris Sorello. You are looking at God. You are looking at Jesus." So there's Jesus. Joseph Smith said this, "We have imagined, suppose, that God was God from all the eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see." It is the first principle of the gospel to know for certainly the character of God, that he was once a man like us. Yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did. Brigham Young said this, "Gods exist and we better strive to be prepared to be one with them." And Lorenzo Snow, the third president of the Mormon Church, said, "As man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become." Edgar Cayce said this, "He believed that God is a creative force, a universal creative energy. According to Cayce, salvation comes from self-transformation through belief in one's own intrinsic divinity." Church of the Living Word, John Robert Stephen said, "Man can become God and can become perfect in this life." Church Universal and Triumphant, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, "Man is basically good. Salvation is realizing that self is God. I am that I am. It's its affirmation of self-deity." Unfortunately, God suffered from some epileptic seizures, and God went senile and had to be placed in a home. I don't know what you do when your God goes senile, but this is what happened to this God. Maybe that's why the world is in such trouble as it is. A Course in Miracles teaches that sin is an illusion that separates us from our own innate divinity, our own godhood. Here is a picture of God, divine light mission, Guru Paran, well, I'm going to say Guru G, founded by him in 1931, headed by his son, the young Maharaji G, is the Lord of the universe. And there you see him just enjoying himself as his creation bows down to him. Oops. Stephen Gaskin openly claims to be God. There you see God. He's going a little bald and wearing pigtails and psychedelic shirts. But there's God there. Kirpal Light Incorporation claims to be a worldwide spiritual and service organization. Yoga is practiced 3 hours a day in order to attain God realization. Life Training, a Human Potential Seminar, Roy Whitten and K. Bradford Brown, background is EST, following the suggestion giving, eliminates the need for a savior. Self-awakening leads to God realization. Man creates his own universe. The New Age movement, it teaches 7 points, all is one, which is monism, all is God, which is pantheism, we are divine. We have lived and will live many lifetimes, reincarnation. We create our own reality, decide our own truth. All religions are truth, and a new world order is coming. So the New Age movement teaches we can become God. The Peace Mission movement, founded by Father Divine. He used to be Major Jealous Divine, but he became used to be George Baker in the 1930s, but then he realized he was God. Father Divine is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Salvation came through him. So if you want to get saved, you need to follow the teachings of God, as we see in this picture here. Kenneth Copeland says, you don't have a God in you, you are one. Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God. Where Jesus says, I am, I say, yes, I am too. You are all God. Paul Crouch, the president of Trinity Broadcasting Network, says, I am a little God. Kenneth Hagin said, I became a human divine being. The Christian is as much an incarnation of God as Jesus of Nazareth. Earl Polk, just as dogs have puppies and cats have kittens, so God has little gods. That's you and me. Fred Price, I am no longer a sinner. God made man a god. Robert Tilton, man was designed or created by God to be the god of this world. Casey Treat, I am an exact duplicate of God. So there you want to see what God looks like. He's got the ruddy hair like David had and sort of dresses casually. But Scientology, late Ron Hubbard, sometimes called L. Ron, background is science fiction Buddhism. God is irrelevant. Thetans, man's souls are all gods. Reverend Ike, used to be Frederick Mr. E. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. He said the lack of money is the root of all evil. I think all the poor people in this room would say amen to that, right? A mixture of black Pentecostalism and Christian Scientism. Publishes Action Magazine. The Bible is a book of psychology. Satan is negative thoughts. Deity is the presence of God in you. Herbert W. Armstrong, who was the who had the Worldwide Church of God. Now, the Worldwide Church of God has changed their doctrinal position. So the Worldwide Church of God itself no longer believes this, but Herbert W. Armstrong believed this. Teachings are polytheistic. Humans become God. We grow spiritually more and more like God till at the time of the resurrection, we shall be instantly changed from mortal to immortal. We shall then be God. Yoga. Background is Hinduism. Practice of yoga with its various postures and exercises leads man to self-liberation and God realization. The purpose of all yoga is to unite man with a cosmic consciousness, or that spark of divinity that each possesses. Benny Hinn said this, "The new creation is created after God in righteousness and holiness. The new man is after God, like God, God-like, complete in Jesus Christ. The new creation is just like God. May I say it like this? You are a little God on earth." When Jesus was on the earth, the Bible says that first he disrobed himself of his divine form. He, the limitless God, became man that we men might become as he is. That sounds very much like Article 460 of the Roman Catholic Church. John Avanzi said this, "The Spirit of God declared on the earth today what the eternal purpose of God has been through the ages, that he is duplicating himself in the earth." Well, here we find the latest god to enter the scene, a British man worshipped as a goddess in India, says he wants to stay there after his six-month visa runs out. Devotees have been lining up to seek his blessing, and some have even taken to him to be the messenger, Abuakar Mata, the goddess of the Indian eunuchs, addressing him as Ma. And so there is God, dressed like a woman in India. And this may surprise you, even evolution teaches about man becoming God. This is John White who said, "What is coming to pass today is not a generation gap or a communication gap. Rather, it is a species gap. A new species is making its way onto the planet and asserting its right to life. This inevitably brings it into conflict with the dominant species. And that dominant species is a dying species. These events and the greatly accelerated interest in exploration in the psychotechnology, spiritual disciplines, and sacred tradition are the manifestations of a new, more intelligent species coming into existence with resistance from the dominant species and developing a unified planetary culture. We can become, in a sense, co-creators with the cosmos. That is what meditation and other spiritual disciplines are all about. Homo Noeticus is a name I give the emerging form of humanity." And that was in his introduction to the 1979 International Cooperation Council Directory, Unity and Diversity Council. And so evolution has a goal of becoming God. Well, what is the prophetic implications for the world as we look at what is happening? When I first started this study, when I first started investigating this, I was of the opinion that it was only the lunatic fringe. Like that one man that I showed a picture of who goes around in circles at the Eau Claire Market and sincerely believes himself to be God. I thought only the lunatic fringe could believe the lie of Satan. But as we begin to look, it's an official doctrine, Article 460 of the Roman Catholic Church, official doctrine of the Orthodox Church. Jehovah's Witnesses teach 144,000 can become gods. The Mormons say as God was, or as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become. Hinduism, Buddhism, all the New Age movements, evolution. I've come to the realization that I'm part of the lunatic fringe because I do not believe the lie of Satan that we can become as gods. One of the things I wonder about is how could a rational person follow some of those teachings? Remember the mad man from Japan? His followers were just about entirely university professors, university graduates, the very elite of Japanese society is who's following them. And you begin to wonder, why would a rational person follow something as irrational as you can become gods? Because there's a spiritual aspect to that. The prophetic implications are this. 2 Timothy 2, 7 to 12 is talking about the coming of the Antichrist. And it says this, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth or hinders will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way." I believe that is the Holy Spirit working through the church. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It's everywhere present. So there's never going to be a time when the Holy Spirit is not upon the face of the earth. "And then shall that wicked be revealed," or wicked one be revealed, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and just destroy him with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." The Antichrist is going to be a miracle worker. "And with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Most of the world does not want to hear the truth that they can be saved. Surprisingly, here we have some of the best news that we can possibly give, and the world does not want to hear that. "And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The question is, what is the lie? I believe it is the greatest lie that was proclaimed in the Garden of Eden. What was that lie? "You shall not die, but you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And my friend, our society still embraces that lie today. And so I believe that the prophetic implications, one of the prophetic implications is that when the Antichrist comes, the world will be prepared for the lie that you shall be as gods. We're seeing it throughout all these cults. The people have been deceived into believing their own godhood. Another prophetic implication is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11. "Now every one of those gods that we have seen," this is what God promises them. "Thus you shall say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens." What's that tell us? The gods of the Mormon church shall all be destroyed. Why do I say that? Well, we're going to see here later on, this weekend, that the God of the Mormon church is not the same God as the God of the Bible. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Amen. The God of the Bible has no beginning. The God of the Bible has no ending. He is eternal. But the God of the Mormon church was born on a planet near the star Kolob. God the Father has fathers and grandfathers and a mother and a grandmother. Their God did not create the universe. They worship another God. That God will be destroyed. And that is the same with all of the false gods we have seen. Every one of those people who have been deceived into thinking that they are a god or that they can attain godhood, they are under condemnation. Here's the sad point. Here is the promise given to believers. It says this, "Do you not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you not unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life?" The saints, those who have been saved, will judge the angels. Now, when you begin to think about that, who is the God of each one of those cults? It's not the living God. Who do you think it is? Who do you think it deceived all those millions and millions of people? It is false gods, demons. We do not have to judge. We will never judge the good angels. Why? They never sinned. They don't need to be judged, but we will judge the fallen angels. Do you realize that if you have been born again, if you've been born by the Holy Spirit, you will judge these false angels? 1 John 3, 1-3 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." See, the saint has become a son of God. John 3, verse 7 said this, "Ye must be born again." What does that mean, you must be born again? Well, let me try to describe it in a way that will make it simple. I was born a child of Adam. I was born a son of Adam and Eve. And like Adam and Eve, I had that same rebellious nature in me. I was prone to wander. I was prone to go against what my conscience told me was right. And if we're honest, everyone in this room has rebelled against what a conscience says is right or wrong. I was an atheist, an evolutionist, and one day I got confronted with two things. Number one, my sin. I found out that I was a sinner, and I had broken God's commandments, and as a sinner I needed a Savior. But the other thing that confronted me was as a pastor began to show me passage after passage after passage, it spoke about the coming Messiah. I became convinced that Jesus really was the Messiah. I humbled myself. I asked the Lord Jesus, my Messiah, to come into my heart. He changed me, and I went from being a son of Adam to a son of God. I went from being a child of Adam to a child of God. Did I stop sinning? No. I am just like everyone else in this room. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and make him to be a liar. God looks at our hearts. But I was forgiven, and God cleansed me from the inside. And so as we close out this first session, we're all confronted with a choice. Joshua 24:15 says, "If it seems evil unto you this to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The question each one of us need to ask is, are we going to serve the gods that we have just seen in this presentation? We've seen a whole lot of gods. Some of them look confused. Some of them are going bald. Some of them are overweight. But you know what? They're no different than you and I. And we must make a choice. Are we going to serve those gods? Or are we going to serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the living God? We must make a choice on whom we will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This poster was found on the front page of Israel My Glory a few years ago. It has been a very powerful statement that talks about the wide road that leads to destruction and the narrow road that leads to life. We do have a handful of those left on our literature table. And thank you for allowing me to just share for this. My apologies that Dr. Showers was not able to make it here. But thank you for allowing me just to speak here tonight. And may the Lord bless each one of you. Thank you.